بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد Most respected brothers and elders and also not forgetting our sisters and mothers listening over the receiver We continue our discussion with the different sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in and as I mentioned previously these were the galaxy of sahaba And these were people who stayed in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some for a long period, some for a shorter period, or for a short period. But they had benefited from the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his advices. And they had genuine and true muhabbat and love for him. And their hearts were clean, pure. And whenever they made an error or a mistake, then immediately they would turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, repentance. And they would focus on the akhirat. And therefore, it is mentioned that whichever one of them you follow, you will be guided. So we have covered many sahaba thus far. Today we will discuss Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a young sahabi. And when I say young, he left this world when he was only 33 years old. But for the few years when he lived in Madinah Munawwara, and he stayed in the close companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we find that he benefited tremendously from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He practiced the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he actually became known as the Imam of the Ulama, the Imam, the leader of the Ulama. And therefore you find scholars write about him, they address him as Imam al-Fuqaha, the Imam of the Jurists, or Kanz al-Ulama, the treasure of the Ulama. He was their leader. He had participated in the pledge of Aqaba, which we discussed previously, and also the other battles in Islam. He was an Ansari, a very tolerant person. He was full of haya, modesty, very generous. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala would call him and even seek his views and matters, on opinions in various matters. You know, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala was very selective. He wouldn't just take any person. He would take those people who would give sound advice. And to be selected in his gathering where he would consult the Sahaba, this was an honor, a privilege. So Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala was also amongst those people whom Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala would consult. And therefore, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala had mentioned, لَوْلَا مُعَاذُ بْنُ جَبَلْ لَهَلَكَ Umar. He says, had it not been for Mu'adh bin Jabal, then I, Umar, would have been destroyed. In other words, I needed his advices. I required his assistance so much. When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala would sit in his company, then they would be awestruck. And it was as though nur, light and pearls were coming out from his mouth when he would speak. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, like how there's a hadith, أَرْحَمُ أُمَّتِي بِأُمَّتِي أَبُو بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ From the entire ummah, from all the followers, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is the one who has the most merciful heart. Like that he mentioned, أَشَدُّهُمْ فِي أَمْرِ اللَّهِ عُمَرٌ. That as far as matters of Shariat are concerned, and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala go, then Umar is the most steadfast and most severe on those matters. Like that many other Sahaba received some glad tidings from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mu'adh bin Jabal was known, أَعْلَمُ أُمَّتِي بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ, for his knowledge regarding halal and haram. From the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most knowledgeable with regards to matters pertaining halal and haram was Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. Now he also had embraced Islam on the hands of Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala. And of course we mentioned Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala previously. He was that young sahabi who was dispatched by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah to go to Medina as a mu'allim, as a teacher, as a da'i, as one who would invite the people of Medina towards Islam. And he made a very stirring effort in Medina Munawwara. And within a few days and weeks and months, many families in Medina Munawwara had embraced Islam. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala was a youngster there. He also embraced Islam on the hands of Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala. Then he witnessed the Pledge of Allegiance, the Aqaba, Bay'atul Aqaba, where a few Sahaba had gone from Medina. They had met with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Aqaba. They pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you come over to Medina and we promise that we will defend you, we will protect you, we will assist you. And therefore they are known as Ansar, the helpers. So there was a tribe, the Banu Salama tribe in Medina Munawwara. And the leader of that tribe was Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu ta'ala. Amr bin Jamuh, prior to his accepting Islam, this was the incident that led him to bringing Islam in his life and accepting Islam. There were a group of youngsters who had embraced Islam on the hands of Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala. Amongst them was Amr bin Jamuh's son. His name was also Mu'adh. So Mu'adh, the son of Amr bin Jamuh, then Mu'adh bin Jabal, radiallahu anhu, and some other youngsters, they, after embracing Islam, they could not tolerate this leader of the Banu Salama tribe. They could not tolerate him worshipping an idol that he had carved himself, which is known as Manat. So he would go every day and pray to this idol. So one night these youngsters, they get together and very quietly and very secretly they go into this room and they remove Manat from there and they take this idol and they throw it into the dumps. The next morning when Amr bin Jamuh goes, he searches for his idol, he becomes very, very angry and he says, who has come here last night and done this to my idol? Or that has done this to my God? So he goes out and he searches for his idol, he finds it in the dump. He washes it, cleans it, applies some perfume on it, places it again on the place where he is to go forward and prostrate to it. The next night the same thing happened. These youngsters went, they did the same thing to Manat. And this continued for several days. Until Amr bin Jamuh now became very, very angry. So when he picked up this idol from the dumps, he washed it, cleansed it, applied some perfume, but this time he addressed it. In kana fika khair, if there's any good in you, and if you are really God, then any person who comes to remove you from my room, then you should be able to defend yourself. If not, then I know you are false. So that night, of course, these youngsters go. They take this manat and this time they take it to the dumps, they tie it to a dead dog, to the carcass of a dog. And of course, Amr bin Jamuh, the next morning when he goes, he finds this is the condition of his manat. And immediately, he gets hidayat and then he also embraces Islam. So Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala was instrumental in Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu ta'ala accepting Islam. And Amr bin Jamuh, if we discuss his biography now and how he became a shaheed, it will take a lot of time, but inshallah, on some other occasion we'll explain Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu ta'ala's bravery in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then makes hijrah to Madinah Munawwara, and of course this is a very joyous occasion for Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. Because now he would be able to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would be able to learn the Quran directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was amongst those very fortunate Sahaba who learned the Quran. According to many scholars, there were four of them who learned the Quran directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every single letter of the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would therefore encourage the Sahaba, خُذُوا الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ أَرْبَعَةٍ. If you want to learn the Quran in Majid, then learn it from four of my Sahaba. And among these four, one was Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. The other one was Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala, who is known as the Qari of the Ummah, and Salim, the freed slave of Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls for Mu'adh bin Jabal. Ya Mu'adh. Now look at the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Wallah, inni la uhibbuk. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes an oath in the name of Allah. He says, Wallah, O Mu'adh, I love you very dearly. How happy one would become. Imagine Rasulullah telling us, I love you for the sake of Allah. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu immediately became overjoyed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that occasion then advised him and said, O Mu'adh, la tada'anna dubura kulli salatin. After every fard salat, when you're making dua, don't forget to read the following supplication. Allahumma a'inni ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, assist me, a'inni, ala zikrik, in remembering you, making your zikr. I am unable to make your zikr correctly. How I ought to remember you with the words that I should express. Ya Allah, I am weak. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the strength. Oh Allah, you assist me. Allahumma a'inni ala zikrika wa shukrik. Oh Allah, you have been so kind to me. I am unable to thank you in the true sense of the word. So assist me in expressing my gratitude to you. Wa husni ibadatik. Ya Allah, I am worshipping you. But I want to worship you in a nice, in a most beautiful manner. Wallah, you assist me in worshipping you correctly. So this was the dua Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. And as I mentioned, the scholars have mentioned, inna Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala amama al-ulama bi ratwa. Some say he's imam al-ulama, leader of the ulama. And as others have said, instead of imam, they said amama al-ulama, means he will be in front of the ulama, which also means imam. But amam al-ulama biratwatin, by one stage. In other words, he'll be one level higher than the ulama of this ummah. So from this we can understand the position, the caliber of sahabi, of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such beautiful words mentioned, ni'ma al-rajul Mu'adh bin Jabal. What a wonderful man Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala is. He was also amongst those people who would give fatwa, Islamic verdicts, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a tabi'i by the name of Abu Idris Khawlani rahmatullahi alayhi. So he says, دَخَلْتُ مَسْجِدَ دِمَشْقِ. I entered a masjid in Damascus, and I saw a group of people, a large group. They had surrounded a young person, and his face was shining. I could see his teeth and the smile on his face, a very handsome youngster. I saw Sahaba going around him, or thronging around him, they would ask him certain questions. He would listen to their problems. He would give them a verdict or a solution. And very happily then they would move, or they would proceed from that gathering. So I was taken aback. I became very curious. I wanted to know who the Sahabi was, or who this person was. Such a large group of people coming, asking him the questions, and he used to pass the judgment or give a verdict, and then they would proceed. So I asked somebody, said, this is the Sahabi of Rasulullah, Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. He said, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed in my heart sincere love for Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. He had not met Mu'az previously. First sight, first glance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put into his heart such love for Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. So he decides to meet him, but he could not meet him that particular day. So the next day, next morning, he said, I woke up very early and I went to the masjid. But when I reached the masjid, I saw this Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. He was there even before me. And he was engaged in salat. After he terminated his salat, I went up to him. I made salam. And then I said, Wallahi inni la uhibbuk. He says, I swear by Allah, I love you. So Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala said, Allah, in the name of Allah, do you swear in the name of Allah? He says, Wallah. He asked him for the second time, swear in the name of Allah, you love me? For the sake of Allah, he says, yes. Then he says, Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala says, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given us glad tidings. And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَحَابِّينَ فِيَّ وَلِلْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِيَّ وَلِلْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيَّ وَلِلْمُتَبَادِلِينَ فِيَّ. Allah says, my muhabbat, my love, we all are seeking the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, my love becomes compulsory upon those people who love one another for my sake. Who love one another solely for my sake. And then they sit together. Mutajaliseen. We are sitting now for the sake of Allah. So they sit together for the sake of Allah. They visit one another for the sake of Allah. And they spend on one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Four types of people have been mentioned. They love one another for the sake of Allah. They sit together for the sake of Allah. They visit one another for the sake of Allah. And they spend on one another for the sake of Allah. Allah says, my muhabbat becomes lazim, compulsory, wajib on such people. And he says, therefore, I made you take an oath upon an oath to ascertain your love, whether it is genuine or not, for the sake of Allah. And since you took Allah's name, then therefore, I give you the glad tidings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Abshir, glad tidings for you, because this is what I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Islam had spread after Fatih Makkah, there were many tribes from various parts of the world or around Arabia. They had embraced Islam and now they came to Madinah Munawwara and met with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And many of them came so that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam may send a Sahabi with them to go and teach them. So the people of Yemen came. And they requested Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, we require some person to teach us deen. We have embraced Islam. And there are many others at home. There are many other tribes who also embrace Islam, but we do not know how to perform salat and taharat and zakat, etc. Send some person to us. Immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala with them. But this is a very touching story and many of us have heard this on many, many occasions. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now bids Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu in favor. And Mu'adh is actually mounted on the animal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking, holding the reins of this horse. Mu'adh bin Jabal decides to jump off and let Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ride out of respect. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibits him, stops him. He says, no, you sit on top. And whilst Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu is mounted on the camel or the horse, and Rasulullah has the rein in his hands, he gives him beautiful advices. And unfortunately, we don't have time now to give all those advices Rasulullah had given him. Inshallah, on some occasion. In fact, just this morning or this afternoon, I picked up some information and beautiful advices that Rasulullah had given Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu. Among those advices, O Mu'adh, you are going to go to the people of Yemen. Firstly, you must give them da'wat, you must invite them, of course those who had not yet embraced Islam, invite them to Islam. After they embrace Islam also, now you teach the people salat, the importance of salat, how to perform salat. Explain to them what is zakat and how they should just discharge his zakat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him a question then. Oh Mu'adh, if you go there and there's a case that comes to you, there's a problem that comes to you, how will you deal with that problem? How will you judge? How will you give a verdict? Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu says, I will look at the Quran, Kitabullah. If I find the answer there, then that's the answer I will give them. Rasulullah said, if you don't find the answer in Kitabullah, then what will you do? He said, I will look at the Sunnah, the Hadith, your Hadith, the Sunnah. And if the answer is not there, then what will you do? He says, then I will apply my sound judgment. Now, these were people whose hearts were clean, pure. They had the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, if you do not find the answer directly from Quran and Hadith, then he said, I will then apply my sound reasoning. I will apply analogy. I will apply what you call qiyas. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised him on that occasion. And then he said, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah who has given tawfiq and guided the messenger of Allah to the straight path. Rasulullah also advised him that you must be mindful of the rights of the neighbor. And also you should show mercy and compassion upon the orphans. And then he says, O Mu'adh, عَسَىٰ أَلَّا تَلْقَانِي بَعْدَ عَامِ هَذَا. This is the part of the very touching moments. Nabi Kareem tells Mu'az, perhaps this is our last meeting. And you are not going to meet me after this. وَلَعَلَّكَ أَن تَمُرَّ بِمَسْجِدِي وَقَبْرِي. Soon you will come pass by my masjid and my qabr. I would have departed from this world. Now imagine, he loved Rasulullah so much, he has to go far away and never to see Rasulullah's beautiful face again. فَبَكَى مُعَاذٌ جَشَعًا لِفِرَاقِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He cried bitterly. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees Mu'adh radiallahu anhu crying, so he turns his face away from him. He could not see his sahabi crying. Because now there is going to be a separation from the both. Or perhaps, I said perhaps, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself may have shed those tears and he did not want Mu'adh to see him crying. You know, when a child is at the airport and the parents are going for Hajj and the child clings on to the mother and the child is crying, the mother holds back her tears. But once she boards the plane, then she begins to cry because she did not want the child to see her crying. This is the rahmat Rasulullah had for his ummah. Nevertheless, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu goes there, preaches Islam. There's a very sterling effort, and the people learn from him. One night, he sees a dream. Oh Mu'adh, what's the matter with you? You are sitting comfortably here, when your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now in the pangs and throes of death. He wakes up with a shock. Then he thinks perhaps this is from shaitan. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And he ignores the dream. Next night he sees, oh Mu'adh, what's wrong with you? You are sitting here. What kind of heart do you have when your Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now being lowered in the qabr? When he wakes up again, he's shocked. This time he jumps on his camel, shouts out to the people of Yemen, there's no good in my staying with you anymore when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has departed from this world. And they ask him, Mu'adh, what are you talking about? He does not even bother to respond to them. He immediately rushes towards Madinah Munawwara. It's a long journey. And he vows to himself that I will continue this journey. I will only stop for Salat, not for any other reason. In the meantime, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah had left this world and he was buried already. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu knew that Mu'adh bin Jabal is gone to Yemen. He sent Ammar radiallahu anhu with a letter informing him that Rasulullah has left this world. So he meets him just on the outskirts of Madina Munawwara. As Mu'adh is just arriving, Ammar meets him. Ammar gives him the sad news. Mu'adh is crying. But he asks him, Ammar, how did you leave the Sahaba Ikram? What is their condition? So he replies, they are like ghanam bila ra'in, like a lost flock of sheep without a shepherd. They are lost. He says, how did you leave Madina Munawwara? He says, the feeling in Madina, person feels so tight and constrained, like a tight ring on a person's finger. When he goes, he finds that Rasulullah had left this world. He goes to the masjid, and then he goes to the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst the advices he had given Mu'adh at that time, he said, Mu'adh and another sahabi, he said, Yassira wa la tu'assira, Bashira wa la tunaffira. Mu'adh, take it easy with the people. Take it easy with them. Don't make matters difficult for them. Give them glad tidings. Tell them about Jannah, about Allah's mercy. Don't frighten and scare them that they become distant away from the mercy of Allah and from the masjid. But these are beautiful teachings. Yes, of course, we have to talk about Akhirat and Jahannam. And one has to talk about the khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the idea is to bring a person close and connect him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to scare him away. Now this was the parting advices of Rasulullah s.a.w. to Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. So many other information we have, this time is running short. But once he has asked, oh Mu'adh, what action can a person do that will be the best of actions to save him in the hereafter? In other words, for his salvation, which action is best? Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu explained on that occasion, he said, it is dhikrullah. Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had two wives. Now there's a lesson for those who have two wives. Showing his justice, equality between them. Such equality and such justice and fairness that if he was at a certain wife's house for that particular day, it was her turn, then he would not even drink water at the other wife's house, nor would he make ablution and wudu at the other wife's house. Because it was this wife's her turn for him to be spending his time there. He would not even go to the other wife's house, even for a sip of water, nor even to make wudu. Both his wives passed away together in that plague we mentioned last week, in the Ta'un of Amwas, where Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu passed on, many Sahaba, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu also passed away. So his two wives had passed on. So when he was burying them, they both passed away together at the same time. Who is he going to bury first? For that also he showed fairness and justice, equality. He drew lots. And whichever one's name came out first, he buried her first. He would say at the time of tahajjud, Allahumma qad namati al-uyun, wa gharati al-nujum, wa anta hayyun qayyum. Wallah, everybody is sound asleep. Eyes are all shut. Wallah, the sky is full of the stars. Wallah, you are hayy and qayyum. You are all living. Wallah, talabi lil jannati bati. I'm not quick in my search for jannat. I'm a bit slow, O my Allah. I am not quick enough to run away from Jahannam. وَهَرَبِي مِنَ النَّارِ ضَعِيفٍ. It's weak. I'm not moving away fast from Jahannam. I'm not proceeding towards Jannat quickly. Allahumma ja'al li 'indaka hudan tarudduhu ila yawm al-qiyamah innaka la tukhlifu al-miyad. Oh Allah, grant me such guidance, such hidayat, that will take me towards you on the day of Qiyamah and save me in the Akhirah. Bless me with such guidance. There were some people who had met with Sahaba and they asked them various advices. So each Sahabi had given his advice. The last person present there was Mu'ad bin Jabal. So they come to him, Oh Mu'ad, give us some advice. Imagine a group of ulama and we ask them advice. Each one has given his advice. Mu'ad bin Jabal, when it came to his turn, he said, you people have been advised already. Now practice on whatever advices has been given to you. And this was his sincerity, his ikhlas. And then a very simple basic point. He says that each one of us, there's no question of us not earning any rosy and sustenance in this world. Each one requires some dunya. Nobody can say, I've come in this dunya and I don't need any dunya to live. Each one of us requires food, nourishment, we require sustenance. So he says that we all require dunya. There's no doubt about that. And we have to make an effort for that. But he says, all we have to do is give preference to our acquisition of the akhirat over our search for the dunya. By doing so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us both. He will grant you akhirat and He will grant you dunya. But if you only spend all of energies only for dunya, perhaps we'll get some part of dunya. We won't even get that contentment. And we will not get our akhirah. But rather focus our energies in getting the akhirah more than what we are spending on the dunya. He says, Allah will make it such you'll get your akhirah, inshallah, and you will get dunya as well. And Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, many other du'as he would make. Oh Allah, I seek protection from that night whose morning will take a person to Jahannam. And then as he was passing away, he welcomed Maut. He was waiting. Marhaban bil Maut, marhaban bil Maut. And he said, Oh Allah, I had fear for you. I always had that hope for you. But today, I have hope in your mercy. And this is what a person has at the time of maut, what you call husnul dhann billah, hasinu dhanna billah. Rasulullah says, have good thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Don't be overwhelmed with fear. Al-imanu bayn al-khawfi wal-raja. Iman is between khawf and raja. We have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we must have hope in Allah's mercy as well. In fact, the hope in Allah's mercy should be more in the hope we have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we do not become despondent. And especially in our times where people get depressed or they suffer depression, people give up very easily. They try to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After a few days, they feel, no, it's very difficult for me. But if a person is steadfast, perseveres, he has hope in Allah's mercy. Whatever difficulties he experiences in this world, he will overcome those hurdles and obstacles. Those are the minor tests in this world. Allah has got something greater for the person in the akhirah. And Allah wants to check the sincerity, the genuineness of this person. Is he really sincere? Is he really coming towards me? Does he really love me? Does she really love me? So many people, so many. You don't take any names. Make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give us hidayat. Just before Asr, I receive an email. Maulana, I think now I should take my life away. Because I can see my duas are not being answered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us into tests. And Allah wants to see how genuine, how sincere we are. We should not give up hope. We should have hope in Allah's mercy. When we have hope in Allah's mercy, then Allah will definitely grant us the best of both the worlds. The only thing is, Allah is not bound by time. Like how we are discussing Surah Yusuf. Look at Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. His child, his beautiful, handsome Yusuf is taken away from him. And so many years go by. He has not seen his Yusuf. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam also is waiting to meet with his father. Imagine the test, the trials that Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam goes through. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam goes through. But eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reconciles them. They meet with one another. And they forget all the pain and suffering. So whatever pain and suffering a person undergoes, the depression, the worry, the agony, the aches and pains, whatever the problem is, but once a person really, genuinely turns to Allah, and he is prepared to accept the decision of Allah, رِضَى بِالْقَضَى, then Allah will give him the contentment in the heart. And Allah is so kind, Allah will give us results in this world. But we have to make that sabr. May Allah Ta'ala give us afiyat. Continue with our discussion, our lessons from Surah Yusuf. And of course I mentioned this is not detailed tafsir. We're just giving brief translation or an explanation of these verses of Surah Yusuf. And we had mentioned last week where these brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they had come to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam not knowing that this is Yusuf, and he had given them the ration and the food. And then he had asked them to bring their brother Binyamin. So the second visit, they forced their father and they convinced Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam that we are going to take care of Yusuf. And now they come to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفَ, when they come to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, آوَى إِلَيْهِ أَخَاهُ, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam sees Binyamin. So immediately he brings Binyamin close to himself. What does he do? I mentioned last week. He says, there are 11 of you. But what you should do is, we should just pay you up and two each to a room. So each pay goes to one room, one chamber. So 10 brothers, they got their rooms. And he says, who's left? Oh, you, what's your name, Binyamin? You're the last one. You've got no brother to be paired with. No problem. You can come stay with me. This was his plan. So Binyamin now, he is staying with his brother Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He does not know that this is my brother. Awa ilayhi akha. Then Yusuf alayhi salam breaks the news to Binyamin first. Qala inni ana akhuk. Oh Binyamin, I am your brother Yusuf. Now فلا تبتئس بما كانوا يعملون. Don't grieve, don't be saddened, don't worry. And don't be afraid of whatever they have done, whatever they are doing, whatever they will do. Don't worry about your brothers. فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam this plan. Allah gives him that knowledge. فَلَمَّا جَهَّزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ. Now for the second time he prepares the goods, puts in the food, in the sacks, and they are about to leave. جَعَلَ السِّقَايَةَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِيهِ. He places his cup, or he gets one of his men to place his cup. Some scholars say this cup was used for measuring that grain. The grain and the corn, whatever they were giving as food. This cup, a very beautiful golden cup, was used for measuring that corn or grain. So this was belonging to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They place this siqaya, this goblet or this container, fi rahli akhi, into the satchel or the bag of Binyamin. Now this is the scheme and the plan. ثم أذن مؤذن. Then suddenly a caller calls out, أيتها العير إنكم لسارقون. Oh group of people, oh caravan, referring to the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, verily you people, you are thieves. إنكم لسارقون. قالوا أقبلوا عليهم ماذا تفقدون. They are shocked. They come running to this, to the people, to the person who had made this announcement, and to the other soldiers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. What have you people lost? So these soldiers and the men of Yusuf, the army of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, addresses these youngsters and said, didn't our king entertain you? Wasn't he hospitable and generous to you? This is the second time he's giving you ration and food, and you actually steal his goblet. So they asked, ماذا تفقدون? What has he lost? What are you missing? قالوا نفقد صواع الملك, this container of the king. One of you has taken this container away. ولمن جاء به حمل بعير. Listen here, whoever owns up now and brings his goblet forward, he will get another camel's load of food. وأنا به زعيم. Yusuf عليه الصلاة والسلام himself said, I stand guaranteed to this. قالوا تالله. Now they start taking قسم upon قسم. تالله. Allah's قسم. لقد علمتم. You know very well. ما جئنا لنفسد في الأرض. We haven't come with any bad intentions. We haven't come here to cause mischief in the earth or mischief in Egypt. وما كنا سارقين. We were never thieves. We are actually the sons of a Nabi of Allah. His name is Yaqub. We come from a noble family. We are good people. We don't believe in cheating and deceiving and lying. So, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, or the people of Egypt, then asked them, قَالُوا فَمَا جَزَاهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. Okay. If you are proven to be liars, what is the punishment then? You see, in our land, the law is, قَالُوا جَزَاؤُهُ مَوُجِدَ فِي رَحْلِهِ فَهُوَ جَزَاؤُهُ. In whosoever's bag this item that is lost or stolen, if it is found in his bag, then he, the person, the rogue, the thief, he will be apprehended, he becomes the punishment, meaning he will be held back, he will be imprisoned, he will have to remain behind, he will not be able to, he will not be given permission to, and he will not be free to move with the caravan. So immediately, you see, كَذَلِكَ نَجِّي الظَّالِمِينَ. This is how we punish the oppressors there, the wrongdoers. فَبَدَأَ بِأَوْعِيَتِهِمْ قَبْلَ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ. Yusuf alayhi salam himself does the investigation. And he searches each brother's bag, starting from the eldest one. And each time, he searches, the scholars, Mufassirin have mentioned this, that each time he looks into a bag, he says, oh, there's nothing here. Yusuf alayhi salam pretends, he says, astaghfirullah, no, how could I even accuse you? So like that he continued till he came to Binyamin's turn. So he said aloud that I don't think this youngster would have stolen this goblet. So I won't check his bag. The other brothers insisted, no, we are not going to leave you now. You accused us, no, please, we insist that you must open his bag. So he said, if you say so, he opens the bag of, and the satchel of Binyamin, and there comes out the goblet. ثم استخرجها من وعاء أخي. He removes it from this bag of his brother Binyamin. When they see this, they feel embarrassed, ashamed of themselves. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفْ. Allah says, this is the plan we made for Yusuf. Why? In Egypt, if any person was caught and he was accused of theft, then this would not have been his punishment, but he would be belittled, he would be beaten up in public, and he would be embarrassed in front of the public. But he would not be imprisoned like how it was a law in Sham or Palestine. Therefore he had to make this plan. Allah Ta'ala gave him this idea. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Except that which Allah decided. And Allah decided like this. Allah says, نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَن نَشَاءُ. So he says, مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ. In this deen, in Egypt, in this religion or the law of Egypt, a person could not detain any person if he was found to be a rogue or a thief. But Allah Ta'ala made this plan. Allah then said, نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. In between, suddenly Allah talks about knowledge. Allah says, we elevate people one above the other as far as knowledge is concerned. Above every knowledgeable person, there is somebody who is more knowledgeable. Sometimes if an alim, a scholar, he feels, I have got abundant knowledge. Allah has blessed me with plentiful of knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him, or any scholar for that matter, any academic, any person who feels that he is very intelligent, he should always realize, above me there is one person. There is some person whom Allah has blessed. And it continues in this manner, till the final person is Al-Alimul Khabir, Allah. Allah's knowledge. Allah's knowledge is the most highest. No person has that knowledge that Allah possesses. And last week I mentioned, or the week before, when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam were traveling, and that bird perched itself on the deck of the ship, and suddenly it places its beak into the ocean. And then Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam tells Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that, can you see the water? Negligible amount on the beak of this bird. He said, that water, that is my knowledge, your knowledge, the entire mankind's knowledge put together in comparison with the huge ocean, that is the knowledge of Allah. وَفُوقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Sometimes a teacher feels that his methodology, that's the best way, and there's no person who can teach him how to teach. Allah wants us to be humble, humility, tawadu. If you take a water jug, if it's full with water, it will remain like that. But the moment it is tilted, it bends forward. It shows humility. Then and only then will water come out of that container and be poured into a tumbler. Person has knowledge. And if he wants people to benefit, then he has to exercise humility. And when he exercises this humility, then people will benefit from his knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us hidayat. May Allah give us tawfiq. May Allah give us true knowledge. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make the dua, Rabbi zidni ilma. Oh Allah, increase me in knowledge. He would ask for beneficial knowledge. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a. Knowledge that will take a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, قَالُوا إِن يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Immediately they are embarrassed. What do? They start pointing fingers at Binyamin. You see, this youngster, if he has stolen, then definitely his brother's name is Yusuf. He had also stolen. Imagine all this he is saying in front of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, not knowing that this is Yusuf who they are addressing. فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ. Now let's be honest. I promised you, if I was in his position, I would have got mad, enraged. I would have given those brothers of mine, or that family, I would have given them a lashing. That now you accuse me of, in my childhood days, having committing theft. It was not true. This is the fourth accusation against Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But this is the tahammul which I don't have. Allah Ta'ala give us that ilm, the tolerance, the tahammul, the bardash, the sabr. A person is swearing at you. He's accusing you. Yes, I mentioned previously, if it's a false accusation, somebody says that you committed zina, ma'ad Allah, then Sharia tells you, don't keep quiet. It is now necessary for you to clear the air. Otherwise, the whole town will see, and you keeping quiet, there's no tawadu then. But in this instance here, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam exercises full sabr. And if asarraha Yusufu fi nafsi, conceals this, doesn't say anything. وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ. He does not make this apparent to them. He does not even reveal his reality to them. In his heart, deep down in his heart, what does he say? قَالُوا أَنْتُمْ شَرٌ مَكَارًا. You are more evil. You are in a more evil position. You know what you actually are doing? You are making tuhmat on a Nabi of Allah. You are accusing him of having committing theft. Don't you know what you did to him when he was a child? All this he says to himself, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. Allah knows very well of whatever false accusations you are making. Allah is well aware of those accusations. Allah knows the truth. قَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ إِنَّ لَهُ أَبًا شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا فَخُذْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانًا إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Now they begin to plead. They begin to cry to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, please, please release him. We've got an elderly father, Shaykh and Kabir. Take one of us in this Binyamin's place. Whichever one you choose, he's prepared to be kept, to remain behind with you in Egypt. But please spare Binyamin. Inna naraka min al-muhsinin. We have seen you to be a generous person. You're a kind, noble person. You have done so much good for us all this time. What does Yusuf alayhi salam say? Qala ma'adha Allah. Allah forbid. أن نأخذ إلا ما وجدنا متاعنا عنده إنا إذا لظالمون. If we have to keep somebody else who's innocent in a person who's a criminal in his place, then we will be regarded as oppressors. How can we do so? Allah forbid. فلما استيأسوا منه خلصوا نجيا. When they saw that all their plans and pleading and crying failed, they moved away and they began to have their own mashwara now. Their own meeting. قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ أَلَمْ تَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَبَاكُمْ قَدْ أَخَذَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَوْثِقًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَمِنْ قَبْلُ مَا فَرَّطْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفَ. He's the eldest one. Some say his name was Yehuda. He says, don't you know what pledge you took to your father? That you will most definitely bring back Binyamin. You will protect him. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And remember the same promise you made regarding Yusuf before? And all the wrong you did? I am not going to come with you. فَلَنْ أَبْرَحَ الْأَرْضِ حَتَّى يَأْذَنَ لِي أَبِي. I will not move from Egypt until my father gives permission. وَيَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ لِي. Allah decides regarding me and Allah gives me death. I'm not going to move from here. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Allah is the best of judges. اِرْجِعُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيكُمْ. He tells the other brothers, you go back to the father, to your father. فَقُولْ أَنْ tell him, يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّ بَنَكَ سَرَقَ. Obviously, the eldest brother, he always gives the shouting first. Before he was scared. So he said, go back and tell your father, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, inna ibnaka saraq, your son, he has stolen. وَمَا شَهِدْنَا إِلَّا بِمَا عَلِمْنَا. And whatever we witness, that's the only knowledge we had regarding Binyamin, that he actually stole the goblet of the king. وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ. Prior to our coming here, we did not know of the unseen. We had no knowledge. Yes, we took a promise that we will protect him, but we did not know that this youngster is going to steal. وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ. And if you don't believe us this time, وَاسْأَلِ الْقَرْيَةَ الَّتِي كُنَّا فِيهَا. The village in which we were, go and find out from them. وَالْعِيرَ الَّتِي أَقْبَلْنَا فِيهَا. And go and even ask the caravan, those people who had accompanied us to Egypt, and they have returned. Ask the other people. وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ. We are speaking the truth. So they go and tell Yaqub alayhi salam this. قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّرَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. Again you have made some fabrication. You are speaking a lie. He said, I don't hear anything from you people now. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. You took away, my Yusuf is gone, Binyamin is gone. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. We talk about, may Allah give you sabre jameel, we say. That means, jameel means beautiful. Person exercises patience in the most beautiful manner. How? He never complains against the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, why did you take my child away? Why did you kill my father? Why was my wife, why did she have to pass away in the accident? And things like that. No. Person accepts totally. This is what you call tafweer. This is what you call ridha bil qada. Person entrusts everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepts Allah's decision, ridha bil qada, wallah, you decided this. No complaint against Allah, yes, he may shed tears, he may express his human nature, his emotions, there's no problem in that. But complaining against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not do so. And he, no matter what period of time he has to go through this difficulty, he is patient. وَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ عَسَى اللَّهُ أَيَّأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا. He has high hopes in Allah, this is the Nabi of Allah. He says, I know most definitely my Allah is going to bring all of my entire family together again. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah has got all knowledge. Allah is most wise. But what does he say? فَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفَ. Hi, hi. He's lamenting over Yusuf. Grief. over Yusuf. Scholars say that now is the time for grieving over Binyamin. But he still talks about Yusuf. Why? Imam Razi rahmatullah says that when you have a new gham, new sorrow and grief, it brings back memories of a previous and a very long time grief a person suffered. For example, Allah protect us, Allah save us, if some accident takes place, somebody passes away, and the mother loses her child, and she thinks, you know, so many years ago, I lost my father in the same way. And she thinks about her father, oh, her husband passed away also in an accident, and it brings back memories. So it brought back memories of Yusuf, Ya Safala, Yusuf, oh Yusuf, oh Yusuf. So, قَالَ يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفَ وَبَيَّضَتْ أَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. He cried so much. He was a Nabi of Allah, he accepted. But he was a human being, he cried to such an extent that because he kept his grief within. وَبَيَّضَتْ أَيْنَاهُ. The Quran says his eyes became white, means he became blind. He lost his eyesight. Because of the grief he suffered, Binyamin is gone and Yusuf is gone. Inshallah, next week we'll continue. Where now the family of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, they admonish him, they say, what are you keep on crying about Yusuf now? قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ تَفْتَأُ تَذْكُرُ يُوسُفُ. You want to keep on talking about Yusuf and lamenting over Yusuf and the loss of Yusuf until you become old or senile or you leave this world? So inshallah, this, as I mentioned, this surah is filled with solace, comfort, hope in Allah's mercy. No matter what difficulty, Allah protect us, always ask for afiyat. But if a person is faced with some type of difficulty, whatever, his job is a problem, his wife is a problem, husband is a problem, children are, whatever the grief is, read Surah Yusuf, understand the meaning. It will give a person a lot of strength and hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.